And now, from the gleaming spires of Chicago, broadcasting to Niflheim, Svartalfheim, Olympus, throughout the nine worlds and beyond, the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin. You are tuned to the immortal sounds of Radio Free Asgard.
Yes, indeed. You are listening to Radio Free Asgard, episode number 121. We're a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network, coming to you from beautiful Chicago, Illinois. My name is Tom Harris, and I'm the host of the show, occasionally joined by other people. But this week, it's just you and me, folks. Yes, we are going to be covering Thor, God of Thunder, number 12. Will we ever get caught up on Thor, God of Thunder? It just seems like it goes on forever. But we'll be covering an issue of Thor, God of Thunder next episode as well. And then at that point, we'll be caught up. 6 weeks from now will be the premiere of Thor 2. Are you chuffed? I'm chuffed. I'm ready for that. I've been seeing a little bit more of the, you know, sneak peeks and the, you know, couple seconds of footage that you get in the new trailer, and I'm thinking, man, this is probably going to be awesome. So I'm really looking forward to it and hoping for the best, hoping that it's better than the first one, which I love. You know, now that they've introduced everybody, now that, you know, they have established the world of Thor, maybe now they can start to explore it a little bit. And we have Malekith and we have all this other stuff. It's going to be great, I think. Anyway, speaking of movies, as I think I may have mentioned before on the show, I don't really go see all that many films. It isn't something that I do. I rather dislike the whole experience of going to a movie theater and sitting in a movie seat for several hours and watching something. So in order for me to do that, I have to have some sort of compelling interest in going to see something, whether it be, you know, a big screen 3D superhero extravaganza or, you know, a sci-fi film, occasionally something, you know, more whimsical like Tintin or like Hugo. It was another really, really good one. I do really like the 3D movies that are coming out now, though I won't go see them just because they're 3D. It has to actually be something I want to see. And in that vein, my other half and I went this weekend to go see Metallica Through the Never. We saw a trailer for this when we went to go see something else and decided, hey, you know, that might be interesting. You know, we're both fairly big Metallica fans. I'm a little bit more recently come to Metallica than he has. But we went to go see it. And I have to say, as far as a movie to look at, it's really exceptional. As far as a movie to actually think about, it's a piece of shit. Musically, it is utterly fantastic. They took concert footage from several different concerts in Vancouver and have kind of, you know, cobbled together a movie. I'm not really sure if this is something that's, you know, cobbles together footage from their actual stage show or whether this stage show was created especially for the movie, but they have done this really good job. Now, unfortunately, a concert film really isn't that compelling in 3D, even if you have a really, really cool stage show. So what they did is they had to tack on this stupid little story. And trust me, it is a stupid, stupid little story about this roadie. Well, I don't know if he's really a roadie. He's more like a, you know, errand boy who it works for the promoter or whatever. And he has this stupid adventure. And of course, in a movie like this, the whole reason why you have this sort of tacked on lame plot is to show off the 3D effects. And that's exactly what you get. If you go into this film thinking that you're going to get a great story, you are sadly going to be disappointed. However, if you're a big fan of Metallica's music and you really like, you know, just the spectacle of the sort of live show experience, then I definitely think it's worth your money to go see. We went to go see it in 3D IMAX because that was the only showing available during the time that we actually wanted to see it. But I think it was definitely worth it. I think it was really spectacular. particularly if you're a fan of Metallica. There's not a lot of groundbreaking stuff in the movie as far as the song selections. It is a lot of the old favorite, but that's okay. You know, it's okay to hear the old favorites because I like most of those songs anyway. So anyway, that is about it. So let's go ahead and move along to our review.
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder the God of Thunder, mighty Thor.
So as promised, we are covering Thor, God of Thunder, number 12. It has a cover date of October of 2013, retailed for $3.99. Cover art is by Esad Rebic, shows Thor flying over New York City. I presume it's New York City anyway. And rather than your typical shot of Thor flying over the city, we actually have the sideways city. The cover art is actually sideways on the page, so it looks like Thor is flying upward. But of course, if you turn the city the right direction, he is obviously flying down towards the ground. Interesting effect that they get here. It's kind of a cool cover. Though Thor's cape, the way it fastens to the rest of his outfit, doesn't look right at all in this artwork. I don't know what he was thinking. Inside front cover is an ad for Payday 2, and apparently the insane clown posse is robbing a bank in there or something. Anyway, so open up to the splash page. We have a really nice splash page here showing the three Thors, and they're hanging out on the boat that Thor the Elder and Thor the Avenger sailed towards Gore's God planet in, but we just have the three Thors standing there posing. And the title of the story called Once Upon a Time in Midgard. And of course we have the credits. Jason Aaron was still the writer. Nick Klein is the artist. VC's Joe Serino is the letterer. We have a new assistant editor with John Moisan taking over. Lauren Sankovich is the editor. Axel Alonso is the editor-in-chief. Joe Quesada is the chief creative officer. Dan Buckley is the publisher. And Ellen Fine is the executive producer. So we turn the page and we find that Thor is back on Earth. And we're following young Thor at this point. And remember, at the end of last issue, we saw young Thor going back to this little Viking village and they had mead for him. We have, of course, the caption, Iceland. 893 AD, and we see a group of Viking longhouses and their smoke rising up. Kind of a pastoral, you know, Viking age scene. And Thor's hanging out in the doorway of one of the houses, and he's got his shirt off, and there's a strangely modern looking voluptuous woman hanging on him. And the peasants are being properly respectful of him. He says,
Lord Thor, you bless us with your presence, son of Odin.
Welcome back, my lord.
Mead, my lord.
And the woman hanging on Thor says, I've heard stories of the wonders of Asgard since I was a child. At night it is where I go in my dreams. If I had been born a goddess instead of a blacksmith's daughter, I can't imagine that I would ever leave such a place, not even for a moment. Yet you always return to us here. Why, my lord? Why come down out of heaven to a land of mud and dung? And Thor is pretty matter-of-fact about this. He says,
Look around you, woman. Your weather is harsh. Your people harsher. Your liquors crude and bitter. Your oceans and forests filled with beasts that would eat you. You fight amongst yourselves for the most petty of reasons. Fornicate like brazen animals. Pillage and defile every new land you discover. In other words, how could I ever stay away? And he seems pretty happy to be there. So we cut to New York City in the present day and a bar called the Salty Stevedore Ale House. And we have two men standing in the doorway and a thunderstorm going on outside. And we hear the rumble of thunder and the two guys are standing there. And one of the guys looks like he's probably the bartender. And the other guy is a little bit older and heavy set. And I take it to from the context that this guy's the owner of the bar. It's like Bibbo from the Superman comic. And the bartender's like,
listen to that. Damn weathermen don't know nothing. Guess it's going to be a slow night.
I wouldn't be so sure about that. Go in the back room, Sean, and bring out a barrel. One of those big oak ones I told you never to touch.
Yeah, sure, boss. What's in them anyway?
Mead. Brewed from fresh honey and wild yeast with a hint of bog myrtle. Same way the Vikings used to make it, which is just the way he likes it.
He who?
A very old customer, one I expect will be along shortly, and we have a big burst of thunder, crack-a-doom. And the owner says, on second thought, best make it 2 barrels. Something tells me our friends built up a mighty thirst after so long away. And we have a beautiful full-page splash here of Thor flying through the city, and there's lightning striking all around him. I have to say, I like this artist. I like the way he draws Thor. I like the way he draws everyone, pretty much. We then shift scenes again, and this is sometime later. And again, we're with Thor the Avenger as he enters into a secure building of some kind. Looks to be a prison. And he's going through the metal detector, which, of course, is set off by Mjolnir. And he's going, beep, beep, beep. And the guard's like, sorry, Mr. Thor, sir, but I'm going to have to ask you to leave your hammer. And one of the older guards is like, never mind that, Lance. Sorry, sir, the kid's new. Go right on ahead.
What the hell, Bill? We don't let regular people bring in nail files, but this guy gets to lug in a hammer the size of a Prius?
Doesn't matter, kid. Trust me. Nobody in this place could ever pick it up. And Thor is going into this prison, and he goes to a guy in a cell. This is kind of a thin black guy with a beard. And I'll be honest, I don't know if we're supposed to know who this guy is or not. I'm guessing that this is just kind of a character just for the story. And Thor offers him this very sexual-looking piece of fruit. it's this pink thing with these kind of soft-looking prongs all over it. It's kind of like a carambola, or maybe not like a carambola, but I don't know. I don't know if anything looks like this. Anyway, so this guy is like, what in the world is it? The fruit of the Kandalar tree from a planet called Endugo, many star systems away. On Endugo, wars have been fought over this fruit alone. Go ahead, try it. And the guy tries it and is like, damn, it tastes like nothing I've ever had. Yet, something I've always known I wanted. Yes, that is what they say.
You didn't try it?
Endugo was burned many years ago. That is the last of the fruit that is known to exist. I wonder how they kept it fresh.
What? But the last one? And you brought it to me? I don't know what to say. This is certainly one hell of a last meal.
And we see that he's on death row, and the guards are there for him. And Thor's just kind of sitting outside in a chair. And one of the guards is like, Fulton, it's time. And they kind of share a look between Thor and this guy, and they open the cell as they kind of guide him to his doom. And Fulton is saying,
listen, Thor, I appreciate you coming to see me again. I appreciate all the talks we've had over the years, but if you've got somewhere you need to be, you know, trolls invading the earth or some such, I understand.
I will be with you all the way, my friend, to the gates of the other side.
Why the hell couldn't I have met a god like you when I was still young and foolish? And looks like he's kind of crying a little bit here. And the guard's like, hey, let's go. Man.
And they silently go through the prison, down the hallway, and into the execution chamber. We then shift scenes once again, and we're getting kind of these little vignettes, obviously, of Thor in different parts of the world doing different things. And you kind of wonder, you know, these are the kind of things you really don't see Thor ever doing. So in a way, it's kind of shoehorned in. I mean, we don't really get scenes like this in any other Thor comics, as far as I know. But we have, Thor, and it looks like he's in South America or Mexico or somewhere like that, somewhere Latin America. And there's a little kid eating this strange melon-looking thing, pouring this kind of ooze into his mouth. And Thor's like, easy now, not too much melon milk. You'll make yourself sick. And there are still plenty of elvish chocolates and fairy cakes here as well. What is he trying to do? Turn them all into elves? Come on. Everyone knows you can't eat fairy food. You'll turn into a fairy and you won't be able to live on Earth anymore. But be sure to save room for the roasted dragon shank. Oh, yeah. That looks scary. And he's got like a rotisserie and he's cooking a dragon shank. And he's talking to a nun and he's giving her kind of a bag full of seeds. It's the seed of the quasar orchid, which has been extinct for 3 million years. Well, not extinct if you have seeds, I have to say.
Oh my.
It comes from the seed library of the halls of all life at a place called Omnipotent City. Yeah, we've been there. If anyone can make it grow, I'm certain it's you, Mother Superior. Now, if you'll excuse me, sisters.
Perhaps the God of Thunder would like to stay for dinner? Remember your vows, Sister Marjorie. Oh, yes. What were those again?
And we shift scenes again, and Thor is on top of a Himalayan peak, and there's like a Tibetan Buddhist monk here. And you know he's Tibetan Buddhist because of the scenery here. This guy has obviously done a little bit of research here, and it actually looks like Tibet. And the guy's like,
"This greatest adventure kept you away from us for a very long time, my old friend. You must have traveled far. So tell me, what did you see this time that no one had ever seen before?"
And we see other scenes of Thor, and he's hanging out with, like, at the VFW with disabled veterans. And we see him bringing rain to the desert, and these, like Bedouins and their camels are getting wet. And we see him shooting off lightning in the middle of a bunch of, like, the Westboro Baptist Church with God Hates You signs. And then we see him standing on the deck of, like, a fishing boat. We really don't get any explanation other than he's hanging out on a fishing boat. And then we have a shot of Thor flying through the air, and he's landing on an aircraft carrier. Oh, actually, it's the S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier. I just realized that. So I guess they have this in the Marvel's New 52 or Marvel Now or whatever it's called. And they're having some sort of a S.H.I.E.L.D. cadets ball going on. They've got a, like, everything is all purple, and they've got a disco ball, and it looks like Buddy Holly type band playing in the background. So the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents are hanging around, and one of them is like, "Oh man, I don't believe it. Hey Roz, looks like your date is finally here."
"What? Holy crap in hell.
You are S.H.I.E.L.D. Cadet Rosalind Solomon? I am Thor, and I hereby accept your invitation."
"Oh wow, I wasn't sure you would ever see the video invite I posted online. You get the internet in, Asgard?"
"No, we do not have that magic, but Tony Stark must have access to it, as he was the one who recommended I attend. And now that I've met you, I can see why he was so insistent."
"Oh, boy. How about a drink? I could use a drink. Could you use a drink? Let's go get a drink."
And they go get a drink, and Thor is drinking out of a bottle of Jack Daniels, which seems very odd to me. I wouldn't have taken Thor for a bourbon drinker, but anyway. So he's like, "Congratulations on your graduation from the S.H.I.E.L.D. Academy. I have known many heroic S.H.I.E.L.D. agents in my time."
"Yeah, well, I wouldn't exactly be so much a super spy, more like an environmental scientist, but with a gun. I don't know if I get a flying car or not."
"I see. I have flying goats."
"If I'm being completely honest, Thor, I didn't invite you here just for the party and to make all the other girls jealous, though seriously, thank you for that. I also wondered if, as a god, you realize the environmental damage that's being done to our planet on a daily..."
"Agent Solomon," he interrupts, "I am sure you will make a fine environmental scientist, whatever that may be. But I was led to believe that this was a celebration. So tell me, have you ever danced with a god?"
Not sure. Let me think about it. No, I'm pretty sure the answer is no. Have you ever danced with an environmental scientist?"
"No, and I see now just what I've been missing."
"Oh my god."
And the two of them are dancing at the ball, and it's kind of a sweet little scene, and I'm wondering if this is going to become a regular character in the series. And then we shift scenes again, and this time we're in Broxton, Oklahoma, and I think this is the place where Asgard came to Earth. And for some reason, Thor is visiting Jane Foster. This is what Manuel was alluding to on last week's show, that they have Jane Foster in this issue. So he's at Jane's house, and they're hanging out on the porch, and we see these sort of floating islands above, which I gather are parts of Asgard, or I don't know. I don't recall if Asgard was still over Oklahoma or not, because I didn't read those issues yet. So Thor and Jane are hanging out on the porch, and Thor has gotten a piece of bad news. He's like,
"I cannot believe this. I know not what to say other than, I'm so very sorry, Jane Foster. How long have you known?"
"My mammogram was 6 weeks ago. I had surgery to remove the lump a couple weeks later. Started chemo last Tuesday. If I throw up all over the place, please know it's nothing personal."
"How? How did this happen? Who did this to you?"
"It's cancer, Thor. Here on Earth, it happens all the time. It wasn't the fault of anyone you can go and bludgeon, believe me. Now please, sit down, drink your tea. Sorry I didn't have any mead. The grocery store was all out. I want to hear all about your latest adventure, how you've been off saving the world. I could use a good saving the world story.
No, I must away. I must find healing stones for you, or perhaps a magic elixir from a wizard of...
Thor, no. We're not going to go down that road. Not ever again. No secret healing fountains. No Odin magic. You know that sort of thing always comes with a price. I'm a doctor. I'll fight this battle with plain old earth medicine. And if this is how I die, I will go down swinging, but on my own terms.
You're a brave woman, Jane Foster.
Nope, just a regular woman. This is something women do. Now sit down and drink your tea.
And we have a swarthy-looking gentleman leaning out the window. It's like, everything all right, honey?
Everything's fine, Walter. Just two old friends catching up is all.
Thor's like, this new boyfriend, Walter, son of Bob, seller of real estate. Methinks he doth not like me.
He's dating a gal whose ex-boyfriend just flew in from space on a magic hammer. You can't understand if he's feeling particularly mortal all of a sudden. But Walter is a good man. We have fun together. What about you, God of Heartbreakers? Any new love interest in your life? Or are things still hot and heavy between you and Sif?
Aye, they were for a while, but Lady Sif and I seem to have drifted apart in recent months. This does not seem to be the time to discuss such matters.
I know that, Pout. Listen to me, Thor. Just because you can't save everyone, it doesn't mean you're a bad god. Sometimes you have to let the humans save themselves.
You must understand, when one can literally move mountains, nothing is more galling than feeling helpless, especially when those you love are in pain. Are you sure there isn't a mountain I could move for you, Jane Foster?
Oh, God, I almost forgot. You're even sexy when you're pouting.
And Thor goes to leave, and she's like,
no wizards! Not a one, do you hear me?
Yes, my lady. Thy chariot awaits.
Let me get my coat. Hey, Walter, honey, sweetie, guess what?
And we then shift scenes, and we see that Thor and Jane have taken a little trip. And not so little, because they are on the moon, and specifically in the blue area of the moon.
Well, if this settles it, if he didn't already, Walter's definitely going to hate you now.
You said you wished to see a beautiful sunset. In my experience, there are none in all the cosmos more beautiful than this.
Funny how they never teach you in school that there's a blue area of the moon where you can breathe the air.
I still remember when your schools taught that the Earth was flat, and that I was nothing more than a pagan myth.
I know, as a doctor, you tell yourself you get used to seeing people come and go, but you never really do. It must be harder for you over all those years. Thank you for always coming back to us, Thor.
Your world saved me, Jane Foster. You saved me. You and all the people who brought me into their lives. Without Midgard, I don't know what manner of god I would be, but I know that I would be lost.
Then go find yourself a nice Earth girl and give her a big kiss on the mouth and thanks.
I can try, but you can understand if they always seem a bit lacking in comparison. After all, my last Earth girlfriend was breathtaking.
So, wait, so who's he talking about here? Hannah? as far as I know, that was his last Earth girlfriend.
Perhaps I could summon just one biomancer to consult on your treatment?
You do, and I'll go out with Hercules.
Thou wouldst not dare.
And we see, of course, this beautiful sunset happening over the Earth, and the big orange glow. And it looks like the Earth is wearing like an Andy Warhol scare wig or something. Anyway, next page we have an ad for the new Punisher comic. And then we continue on with the story where we shift scenes to Antarctica. And there's these scientists. And one of these scientists is the chick that Thor was dancing with on the helicarrier. And there's a helicopter, and they come across this big bay, and it's full of dead whales. And there's kind of whale skeletons. And I like the fact that this artist has actually done some research. This is one of the things. I really like this penciler. And because the whale skeletons look like whale skeletons. Obviously, this guy has spent some time drawing them. And she's like,
good Lord, a whale graveyard. Have you ever seen anything like this?
No, but I did only graduate yesterday.
Agent Ross Solomon, SHIELD Environmental Investigation Team, report A1. We have confirmed the rumors of a whale graveyard in the middle of the Southern Ocean, at a spot which I believe to be directly above the current construction site of Roxxon's latest underwater mining station. The question now is, can I prove that the two sites are linked? Or will all of this be written off as merely another act of God?
And then she looks up and she sees Thor And he's whirling his hammer and coming in for a landing in the site where they are.
Greetings, Agent Solomon. Please tell me how I can help you to save the world. You are shaking. If the cold bothers you, perhaps it would be better to speak over dinner.
Did you really fly all the way to the South Pole just to hit on me? You know what? It doesn't matter. You're here now, so I'm putting you to work. Let's go.
Yeah, they're walking past these whale skeletons, and she's like, I don't suppose you can move mountains, can you? Or at least icebergs.
My lady, it would be my pleasure.
And we shift scenes once again, and we are many millennia in the future on Asgard. And we have old King Thor hanging out here. And we see, you know, the island of Asgard kind of floating in space and little side islands floating around it. And we see this sort of really ragtag version of the Rainbow Bridge. King Thor is like,
is this blasted bridge finally fixed? Or am I the only old thing in this city that still works like it's meant to? Speak, sentry!
My lord Thor, the repairs continue. But yes, the Bifrost is once again operational.
I don't like that. I'll talk about that at the end.
Then wake up the garish thing. The king of Asgard would survey his realm. To Midgard, sentry.
Midgard? But, my lord.
You heard the words of your all-father. Make it so. Foolish sentry. Doth the boy not know his history? Thor always returns to Midgard, no matter how much it pains him.
And we see Thor is striding down the Rainbow Bridge onto to Earth, and Earth appears to be a lifeless, ruined place. It's like these gnarled rocks, a very Kirby-esque kind of rock tree sort of things, and lightning striking down all over the place. But it looks like a pretty desolate place that King Thor has landed. And that is Thor, God of Thunder number 12. So obviously I do have a few thoughts about this issue. I do think that this is one of the best written issues of the series that we've gotten so far, if not the best written issue of the series so far. Jason Aaron has done a really good job here. We get a lot of people here in the story that we've probably never seen before and probably will never see again. Yet you kind of get who they are and you kind of get what they're about. Even though we may never see them again, you do get the sense that he is portraying real people, or at least they're realish enough that it passes in the comic book story. Artwork by Nick Klein, I have to say, is really, really good. He has a nice style, and I like the fact that you can tell that he's done a bit of research. He knows what a Viking longhouse is supposed to look like, and he draws the Viking village, and it's convincing. You have the inside of the prison. He draws that convincingly. You've got these weird fruits and stuff, too, but I like the way he draws Thor. He's definitely taking a page from Oliver Quapel's playbook as far as his pictures of Thor. He's a semi-realistic penciler in a way that Esad Rebic isn't, which is kind of interesting. Even though on the surface the style is fairly similar to Rebic's, this is not a painted issue. So it is a successful thing. I do really like the attention to detail that we get. For example, in the scene where Thor is in prison visiting the guy on death row and the guy bites into the fruit, actually thinking about what the inside of this fruit would look like. And I think that comes across as very, very realistic indeed. Though, like I said, I do kind of wonder how they kept that fruit fresh for like millennia, however long that planet has been dead. Obviously, this fruit has really good staying power. I kind of like the fact that Thor wades into the middle of the Westboro Baptists and launches a bunch of thunderbolts and makes them scared and running away. On the other hand, it is kind of, overtly political. And that's something I don't generally like in comics. The introduction of this new character, this Roz Solomon S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, I'm really hoping this does not cross over into the S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show. I'm not watching the S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show. Maybe after it comes out on DVD, I'll start watching it. But for the moment, I'm certainly not really all that interested. Yeah, Thor drinking out of a bottle of Jack Daniels, that just doesn't seem to me to be a very Thor-like drink. You know, maybe it's just me, but I just can't imagine why Thor would want to drink cheap bourbon. Honestly, I don't. I take that back. Cheap Tennessee whiskey, because Jack Daniels isn't really bourbon. The scenes with Jane Foster, interesting. I actually really do sympathize with Jane. Unfortunately, this character of Jane Foster in the story isn't really familiar. This is like, this could be any woman. But, you know, they have to have it be Jane Foster to make sense of the story. She doesn't look like Jane Foster. She doesn't talk like Jane Foster. She doesn't really seem to be any Jane Foster we've met before. That's okay. I mean, I'm okay with having a change in the Jane Fosters that we meet from time to time. After all, you remember, you know, the really the only version of Jane Foster I really despise is the Lee Kirby one, because she was so fickle and stupid. But if you remember in the Dan Jurgens run, Thor Volume 2, I actually kind of like their portrayal of Jane Foster. They have her as sort of this smart, intelligent, you know, reasonable woman, and, you know, in a way that we really never saw in the 1960s. And of course, in the movie, I didn't mind that version of Jane either. It's amazing how many different versions of Jane Foster that we have in the Marvel Universe at this point. I don't understand why she wouldn't want Thor to heal her. I mean, it just seems to me it's like, oh, okay, well, yeah, no, I'd rather suffer and spend lots of money, you know, having this cancer cured. If I had cancer and somebody offered to be able to cure it by magic and I had some reason to believe that the magic was real, I'd probably go for it. I probably would. You know, Jane is just being stubborn here, maybe. I wonder if they named her boyfriend Walter after Walt Simonson. It does make sense. I really am not familiar with what happened to Jane in the previous Thor series. I gather that at some point she got divorced from Dr. Kincaid, who was her husband. And I kind of wonder whatever happened to their kid. I'm really not that familiar with what went on in that Thor series. So that is something that we will have to remedy at some point. I do want to cover it. Like that he took her to the blue area of the moon. I thought the blue area of the moon was full of city, though. I didn't realize that there was a lot of this area that was kind of this big open lunar space, and they're just kind of, you know, sitting in craters and stuff. But the scene is really spectacular. I really like it. Other than the glow over the Earth, which for some reason it looks like the Earth is blowing up rather than the sunset. I know, I understand it's hard to portray, you know, the glow of light in a comic, but Esad Ribic did it quite skillfully in Thor God of Thunder in previous issues. So it does kind of look like the Earth is wearing an Andy Warhol wig. Again, I like the fact that the artist knows how to draw a whale skeleton. That tells me that he's actually done his homework. And as an artist, is familiar with the way a whale skeleton should look, is familiar with the way a helicopter should look, for that matter. Yeah, there's just a lot to like about this issue, including his portrayal of Asgard. This guy seems to draw everything well, whether it be a New York City bar or, you know, the golden spires of Asgard himself. I would really love to see this Nick Klein character stick around. As much as I like Esad Ribic and would not want to see Thor God of Thunder without him as at least a semi-regular artist, I like this guy and I like his work. This is overall a really, really fine issue. You know, I tell you who this artist style reminds me of a lot is Stuart Immonen, and especially some of the work that he was doing on Superman back in the, I think it was in the 90s. I really think that there's a lot of similarities here, and can see a little bit of Kevin Maguire kind of creeping in there as well. It's obvious that he's been influenced by a lot of people from that era, you know, late 80s, early 90s, before the extreme 90s came and kind of made art kind of shit all over both the Marvel and the DC universe. Okay, so one little pet peeve about this issue that I didn't like, and I alluded to it earlier, the Bifrost. I can't stand that they're using this the Bifrost term. It's just Bifrost or Bifrost. It's not the Bifrost. And I know that they took this from the Thor movie. I know that this is bound to come back in Thor 2. But seriously, folks, this is not a good thing to take away from the Marvel movieverse. There's so much better things that they could have taken from the movieverse than that. On the other hand, though, at least they didn't make the bridge a giant gyroscope. All right, so I'm really not exactly sure what we'll be covering next week. I'm thinking it might be Thor God of Thunder 13, but maybe possibly not, because I believe that it's a continued story. We do want to cover the 2-issue prequel to the Thor movie, and so that may be what we cover instead of Thor God of Thunder next week. I really would like to get that before the Thor movie comes out, at least. All right, so email. If you want to email the show, we do have an address available for people to write to, and that address is radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. We also have a Facebook page that you can join, the Radio Free Asgard Facebook group. Join the 30-odd people, and believe me, there are 30 of the oddest people you've ever met over at the Radio Free Asgard Facebook group. And I know I don't really shill for iTunes ratings very often, but I want to thank Professor Allen for leaving us a 5-star review over on iTunes. Thank you very much, Professor Allen. And I do encourage you to leave us reviews on iTunes, whether or not you actually like the show or not. It is helpful. All feedback is helpful. So if you could, you know, even if you hate the show, please review us on iTunes. And if you're not downloading us from iTunes, that's okay too. I'm not one of those people who's going to get all bent out of shape if you're downloading us straight from the website, because that's what the website's for, folks. Anyway, so without any further ado, it is time to wrap up the show for this week. Once again, of course, thanks very much for listening, and we'll see you next week here on Radio Free Asgard. Arr!